I like to hear what we might consider to be sensational testimonies and dramatic circumstances like they have on Unshackled. And I like to hear all of them. And I asked Mrs. Parisher if she would share her testimony this morning. I asked Pastor Parisher if he would ask Mrs. Parisher. And they two are one. So I think he consented for her. So Mrs. Parisher, would you come, please? And now, while you're coming, some of you have heard Mrs. Parisher's testimony. And I'll just tell you, as a pastor, maybe I overemphasize this, but I am greatly desirous that people have scriptural assurance that they're saved. And for that reason, I find Mrs. Parisher's testimony remarkable. And thank you for coming to share with us now. How many of you have never heard Mrs. Parisher's testimony? Would you just raise your hand? See, we have over half. So, and so sometimes the people scold me for not speaking loud enough. So if you get a little near the microphone, that would be.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say thank you to the pastor and to you who will listen to me again for the second time. My name is Joan, or Laura Joan Parisher. I was Laura Joan Engel, and I am married to the Prime Minister of Bethel Baptist Church. So, being the Prime Minister, I guess that makes me the prime rib. So the Prime Minister has a big job at Bethel Baptist. He is in charge of the prime timers, who are the, I don't want to say old people, but older, wiser, more mature adults in the church. And believe me, it keeps us busy. But we've been married 55 and a half years. We have 5 children, 12 grandchildren, and 4, and I guess it's a half now, a half, great grands. I was born in Asheville, or Candler, near Asheville, North Carolina. And I was named after my great-grandmother, who was Laura Ingalls. And not the one that wrote the book or had the movies or anything like that. That wasn't in my descent. I have 6 brothers and 3 sisters, so we came from a large family. We were very poor. My dad sawed down timber and made logs to build us a log cabin, and I think he built 3. The first one I did not know about, but we had a circuit driver who came through the mountains, and or circuit rider, and he preached going through the mountains. And he married my mom and dad, but we met him a few years ago in a Tennessee homecoming. And he came up to me and he said, "Joan, do you remember the first log cabin you lived in?" And of course I didn't. I was just probably 2 years old or 1 year old, a baby. And he said, "Of course you didn't, you were too young." But he said, "Your log cabin did not have a floor. It was a dirt." And I'm like, "You're kidding me." I thought the one I lived in was bad enough, but I didn't know that I lived on the dirt. But we had a lot of children. There were, like I said, 10 of us. The third log cabin, we had 7 in one log cabin, living in one log cabin with 2 rooms. The boys slept on the back porch, screened in, and my brother told me that he had to brush the snow off to keep from having the snow pile up on the blankets. But, you know, it doesn't matter where you live as long as the Lord is first in your life. My dad saw that all of the children, we went to church every Sunday. It didn't matter if it rained, if it snowed, no matter what. And I know kids hear this all the time. I had to walk to school in the snow and all this stuff. But it's true. We walked around the mountain, and I don't know how many miles it was. It seemed like it was forever. But it was around the mountain and up on the hill to the church. And we had billy goats who followed us to church every Sunday. Dad saw that we went to church every Sunday. My dad worked in the Inca plant, and he also filled in pulpits as a minister. He also had a radio station. Well, it's really hard to put in words how the belief was in the churches there in the mountains. My first experience of, I'm not going to say salvation, but going through the pretense. We had a tent meeting, and my dad took my sister and myself and my brothers to this tent meeting, and during the tent meeting, the preacher got up and he said, all the Christians to come forward. Well, I'm standing there with my little sister who's 2 years younger than myself, and I'm 8 years old. And everybody went forward but the two of us. Now, I don't know how that could happen, but I'm standing there, and I knew, because I've seen it before, and I knew what you're supposed to do is to go forward with everybody else, so you won't be. So I told my little sister, I said, let's go. And she said, we can't go, we're not a Christian. And I'm like, well, I guess not, but I want to go anyway. So we stood there. And sure enough, as I expected, what would happen, this lady came back and she got me by the arm and she said, you need to be saved. Well, I went out, went up front, everybody knelt down, and everybody began to pray. And I always get upset. Everybody prayed and patted me on the shoulder. They got up and started shouting and that kind of thing, and left me. Just left me. No one talked to me. No one discipled me. I went out confused. So I go on, was baptized, and years went on, and every time I go to church, and they would say, raise your hand if you're saved. My hand went up. All these years, my hand would go up. And I met this wonderful man. I moved from Asheville up to here, and I met my husband, and we got married, and the Lord called him to preach, and I knelt down with him, and we both prayed, and I prayed, and being the good wife, you know, and I felt in my heart, this is right. So we went to school. And you know, in my early years, I was not a bad girl. I mean, I was a good moral person. I did what was right. I obeyed my parents. As Dad, he was very strict. I didn't wear lipstick. I didn't wear fingernail polish. Those things that my dad said were wrong. But I was a morally good person. So we went off to school, and I taught Sunday school. I went to church, and I was a Sunday school teacher. I taught little kids. I even told little kids how to be saved. And I led them to the Lord. And one night while we were there, we lived in a converted army barracks. And it was very rustic. But I went to bed and he was studying. And the Lord just began to deal with my heart. And you know, you can look, as the pastor said this morning, as he took the cover off of that book and showed that beautiful cover, the beautiful book. I thought, so like my life. You know, man can take the cover off of your book, of your life, and they don't see what's inside. But God took the cover off of my book that night. And he began to flip the pages. And in those pages, it wasn't very pretty. I might have been morally a good person in the eyes of all these people, but in the eyes of God, and on the pages of my life, it wasn't a pretty picture. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. And I lay there and I thought, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm too embarrassed. I'm ashamed. I'm afraid what my husband will say. I just can't do this. And the more I lay there, the worse it got. And the Holy Spirit brought the verse to my mind. My spirit will not always strive with men. And he was really speaking to me that night. And I said, okay. And I got out of the bed in tears and went in the living room. And he said, he was studying. And I said, he said, what's wrong? And I said, I'm not saved. I've never been saved. And I can imagine the shock, because I was a good wife. I was a good future pastor's wife. I knew all the right things. All the right things to say, all the right things to do. But I wasn't saved. And he said, okay, let's just kneel down here and we'll pray and ask the Lord to save you. And we did. And that night, the Lord Jesus came into my heart and saved my soul. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not by your good moral works, not by what men think about you, but if you will confess me, if you will believe in your heart. You can't just go forward. The Holy Spirit convicts you of sin. And you realize that you're a sinner. And I could not do that for a long time. I could not say, I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. And God showed me that I needed to confess him. And I want to leave with you a thought. When someone accepts Christ or comes forward, or don't leave them in the dust. Help them. They need it. If someone had talked to me had helped me, I would not have gone all these years without really knowing. I knew, but I didn't know. And I thank you for giving me this opportunity, and I hope that if you're here today and you may be in that similar situation, that you will not let fear, embarrassment, or any of these things hinder you from giving your heart to the Lord. Christians love you. We love you. No one will make fun of you. No one will belittle you. But the Lord will help you to get through this, as he did with me. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Now, in this hymn that we're going to sing,